preach on being faint. You know, being faint is something that a lot of people won't admit that they are. You know, and it's easy to not admit it, but being faint is just something that happens in the Christian life. Being faint, the definition of that is just hitting a weak spot. You know, you get weak for a time. It can be being feeble or being exhausted. And, you know, the Christian life, any way you look at it, if you're going to serve the Lord and if you're going to remain faithful, it is really easy to get exhausted. It is. It's really easy to get weary in well-doing. It's really easy to get faint. And I'm not talking about, you know, faint, you know, like you pass out. But although, I mean, it feels like that at some points. It's just something that it doesn't matter how spiritual you are. It doesn't matter how good of a relationship that you have with the Lord. It doesn't matter how much you give to missions or how much you give to tithes. It doesn't matter how much that you show up during the week. It doesn't matter who you are. You're going to get faint at times. You're going to hit points in your Christian life to when you just really don't feel like carrying on. And it's being faint isn't even necessarily a bad thing. Being faint, it's not a sin to be faint. It's not a sin to get exhausted. You know, some people, you know, like it's easy to beat yourself up more than you need to. It is. It's easy to put too much of a burden on yourself than what needs to be there. There's nothing wrong with being exhausted. There's nothing wrong with being faint. There's some things we're going to look at here this morning, and I hope to be a blessing to you, and I want to be an encouragement to you. If you will, look at the book of Judges. It'll be the first place that we look this morning. Judges chapter 8. I want to talk about remaining firm whenever you're faint. Remaining firm. Judges chapter 8 here, this is dealing with Gideon, and we won't look and read back at Gideon's introduction here. We know that Gideon, he was hiding out behind the wine press whenever the enemy was coming through, right? And the Lord comes to Gideon and he calls him, he says, "Oh, thou mighty man of valor." You know, and Gideon, he's looking around, I don't know who the Lord's talking to here. He says, "A mighty man of valor," and it's just me here. He must be, you know, he must be losing his mind. I know he's not talking to me. That shows me that the Lord wasn't looking at Gideon back when he called him. He was looking at Gideon in Judges chapter 8. That's the Gideon he was looking at. And the Lord, he tells Gideon, and I love that story, you know, and he says, "I want you to, you know, get this army together and I want you to defeat these enemies and defend the ground." And Gideon, he gets this big army raised up, and then the Lord, he tells him, he says, "All right, I want you to go to this, you know, this thing of water now. And the men that, you know, that go down and they lap up the water, you know, like a dog, you kick them out of the army. But the ones that'll scoop down and just scoop up a hand of it and drink it like that, that's the guys I want fighting for me." So imagine Gideon, you know, he's thinking, okay, you know, I've probably got an army. They're probably a bunch of, you know, proper gentlemen. You know, we'll see what happens. We'll see how they lap up the water. And one by one, they went down and lapped it up like water. And Gideon's army just, it loses a huge number. And he's left with 300 men. You know, a lot of times in life, it feels like Gideon when you've got 300 versus 10,000. I'm just being honest with you. Looking at life head on, a lot of times, you look at it, you say, "Lord, I really don't have much, and it's a big thing that I'm out there facing." No, it's easy to do. It's easy to get faint. Gideon gets faint. We'll read about it right here in Judges chapter 8, but I can't help but come to the conclusion that a lot of times in life, it feels like we're outnumbered. And every problem, you know, it wouldn't be a problem if I was bigger than the problem, but that's what makes the problem a problem, right? It's bigger than us. There's a lot of things in life that are just bigger than you and I. Any way you look at it, any way that you look at the circumstance, and I heard a preacher once say that you're either in a storm, you're either coming out of a storm, or you're fixing to go into a storm. And that feels like life, right? It feels like you just get hit. Just you get over one thing, and you get through one problem, and you get over it, and then boom, just something else comes in. It's just life. It's just how life goes. But in Judges chapter 8, we'll look at verse 4 here. I want to talk about my first point, remaining firm. It says, "And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them." You see, there's absolutely nothing wrong with getting faint. It's not a sin to be faint. It's not a sin to get exhausted. But when you get faint, you just got to keep pursuing. You say, what have you got to do? You just got to remain firm. You got to keep standing. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand. You just got to keep standing. Even though the hard times come, even though it's easy to get faint. You see, if a man that God Almighty called him a mighty man of valor, I don't ever see the Lord calling me that. The Lord called Gideon a mighty man of valor. And what does it say in verse 4? It says he was faint. That means none of us are excluded from this. None of us. No matter the age, I don't care how young you are, and I don't care how old you are. It's easy to get faint. And I'm talking about faint in the Christian life. I'm talking about getting weary and well-doing. I'm talking about getting faint coming to church every Sunday. I'm talking about getting faint coming to church every Wednesday. It's easy. It's easy to. It's easy. And everything that we go through outside of the church, everything that happens outside of these doors, it has an effect on you for when you do come in here. You see, when you walk out of those doors today, your problems aren't just going to go away. And whenever you walk in, yes, it is a good thing to come in here and to set aside time on a Sunday or set aside time on a Wednesday and just block everything else out for a little bit. It's good, but the problems are still there. And the burdens, they keep coming. And the storms, they keep rolling in. You know, we live in Perdido Key right on the, about 5 minutes right off the beach. And it's a fascinating thing whenever you're out there. I'll be fishing. And I'll hear the thunderheads rolling. And I'll see it way out there. And you know what you'll think? You'll think, well, that storm is so far out there in the Gulf right now, I've got absolutely nothing to worry about. And then like that, it's on top of you. You know, it's easy to look out in life and you think, okay, these problems are out there, but how often do they come up just like that? Stuff that comes up way sooner than we expected it to, but you know what you got to do, even though it gets faint, you just got to keep pursuing. You see, this race here, I talked about it in Sunday school, we're in a race. We're in a race. We're in the Christian race. And our finish line is heaven's gates. And we'll get there one day. And it's easy to get faint on the way there, but you can't stop pursuing. You see, whenever you stop pursuing, that's whenever you surrender. That's whenever the white flag goes up. That's whenever you've quit. That's whenever you've thrown in the towel. That's whenever the devil gets his victory. And church, he's had enough victories. And I'm sick of him getting victories. I'm sick of him getting the victories in my life. I'm sick of seeing people fall. You see, it's just life gets hard. And we get faint. But we can't stop pursuing. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Say, what's that mean? That means sometimes we just got to grit our teeth and get through it. Sometimes we just got to keep fighting. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Read one verse here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry," this is Paul here, he's talking about his ministry. People were doubting that that he was, you know, called of God and everything. And this 2 Corinthians here, he's defending his ministry. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." You see what you have here at New Hope Independent Baptist Church? You have a ministry. And it's a good one. It's a good ministry. I always get encouraged whenever I come here. But you know, the ministry can get discouraging at times. It does. The ministry, as good as it is, as rewarding as it is, and it's rewarding, it is. But it can weigh on you. It can get burdensome. It says, as we've received this ministry, as we've received mercy. You want to know how that, you know, if you're going to not faint, if you're going to not quit, you know what it takes? It takes the mercy of God. It does, because the ministry, it's easy to get faint. Right here, you've got a ministry that you have received from God at New Hope in Red Level, Alabama. You have a ministry that has been given to you, to each and every one of you in here. If you are at this church today, then this church here is part of your ministry. You see, you may not be the pastor, you may not be a deacon, you may not be on the board, you may not be a Sunday school teacher, you may not be the song leader. Okay, if you sit here today, then this church is part of your ministry. Amen. It's everybody's. It's not just, you know, the preachers or whoever it may be. It's not just one person. No, as a whole this morning, this church is a part of you. It's a ministry. It's a ministry just to show up and sit there on a Sunday. It's a ministry just to show up on a Wednesday. It's a ministry just to be faithful. And it's easy to get faint in your ministry. You know what you need? You're going to need mercy. And you need mercy from God Almighty if you're going to remain firm in it. And one way to do that in Luke chapter 18, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you right quick. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray." You know what comes after that? It says, "and not to faint." You want to know how you can make it, how you can not faint? It takes prayer. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school. We talked about your incense altar being a picture of a prayer and just talking to the Lord. And how that you need an altar for forgiveness. That's going to the Lord and getting that mercy. And how you need an altar for comfort. And how you need an altar for yourself. If you're going to make it, if you're going to make it to the end, if you're going to not quit, it takes prayer. And even praying you can get faint. But it says that men ought always to pray. And even praying you can still get weary in well-doing. It still happens and it's going to happen. But you got to keep pursuing. You can be faint. You can be faint, but keep pursuing. You can be faint, but keep praying. If this church is going to continue on, you know what it takes? It takes prayer, and not just prayer from one man. Not just prayer from two or three men. Not just prayer from whoever it may be. This is, everybody in here, this is part of your ministry. And it takes prayer. It takes prayer to not be faint. It takes prayer to keep the doors open. It takes prayer just to remain firm and asking the Lord to help you. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, we'll start in verse 7. Says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." You see, a lot of times that verse, it'll scare you more than it'll help you. Why? Because in nature we're sinners. But it's a promise. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, if you're sowing the right fruit, if you're sowing the right prayers, if you're sowing the right attitude about it, if you're just sowing the right seed of faithfulness to it, you'll reap it. You'll see that plant grow. And look at verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary and well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." It's just hard not to do that at times, right? It just gets hard not to faint. But it's a promise. In due season, you say, when's that due season? I have no idea. I don't know when the due season is. It's different for everybody. You see, the thing is that the due season may not be until we get to heaven. the due season of our reward, it may not come until we are at the judgment seat of Christ. It may not come until we are before His throne in heaven in eternity. But I promise you, we will reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Got to keep sowing the right things. It says, lest you be weary and you faint. I don't know when it's coming. I don't know if we'll see it here. According to the Bible, Laodicea, that's the church age we're in, it just goes downhill from here. It talks about how the men, they won't be faithful. How that God will end up sending strong delusions that they might believe a lie. We're not going to see a revival happen in America. We're not. We're not going to see every church in town filled with people. We're not. But you know what we can see? If we faint not, we can see some rewards whenever we get up to heaven. We can see everything being worth it whenever we get up there. So when you're faint, remain firm. Secondly, in Proverbs chapter 24, in verse 10, Proverbs chapter 24, in verse 10, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know what I've had to figure out? My strength is small. Time and time again, I've figured it out. My strength, me, Reed Horton's strength, is small. You say, why? Because when the days of adversity come, I faint. You know what you have to do? You have to remain focused. Say, focused on what? Not yourself. You have to remain focused because it's His strength that gets us through. Because when adversity comes, if it's just left up to me, I'm going to faint. I'm going to quit. Oftentimes, it is simple stuff that'll be a problem. And it's really, whenever you compare it to everything else, it's really not that big of a problem. It's really not even that big of a deal. But, you know, some people, they have real problems. And some ministries have real burdens, and some people have real heartaches. I'm not trying to discourage you, but I'm here to tell you that if your strength is in yourself, your strength is small, and you'll faint. Look at Psalms chapter 73, and I'm trying to encourage you here. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just here to tell you that if your strength is of yourself, it's not going to work. Psalms chapter 73 and verse 25. I read this psalm right here. I read these couple of verses to myself just about every day. It says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know what I tell myself every day? I tell myself that my flesh and my heart faileth. You say, why? Because my flesh and my heart fails. I fall short. Adversity comes and I'll fall short. I fall, I fumble, I give up. But you see, it says, but God is the strength of my heart. You want to know how to make it? He's got to be the strength of your heart. You got to remain focused on what your strength is. You see, your strength can't be yourself. Or you'll fall whenever the day of adversity comes. Look at verse 28. It says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. It's good to draw near to God. It's a good thing. It is a good thing to draw near to God so you don't faint. Say, how do you do that? You got to snuggle up next to Him. You got to go to Him in prayer. You got to come before Him. You got to draw near to Him. You see, He wants you to. God's not just a white-haired and white-bearded man on the backside of the universe that doesn't care. No, God is a personal God. And it's a good thing for us to draw near to Him. You see, whenever you wake up in the morning, you can say, what's a good thing I can do this morning? You can say, well, it's a good thing for me to draw near to God. Before you go to bed tonight, you can say, what's a good thing I could do tonight before I go to bed? It is a good thing for you to draw near to God. It's good. Nothing bad's going to come from you drawing near to God. He'll encourage you. He'll strengthen you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, "For consider him," this is speaking of Jesus Christ, "that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." You say, what's a good thing to stay focused on? It's a good thing to stay focused on him. It's a good thing if you're going to remain firm and being faint, if you're going to remain focused, your focus has to be on him and him alone. You say, why? Because he endured such contradiction of sinners. You say, what's that? Well, everything that Jesus Christ did for us, it shouldn't have happened. Why should somebody just die for somebody that's unjust? Why should somebody that's holy die for an unholy bunch of people? Why would someone innocent die for people that are not innocent? See, it contradicts itself, right? You got to look to him. He's our example. He's what we got to look to. He's the very one, and it says, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, oftentimes I'll be going through something, and I'll say, Lord, I don't agree with this. Lord, I don't agree with how this is working out right here. I really don't agree with everything that is happening in my life right now. But then I can look to him. I can say, you know what? You endured some contradicting things for me. He took a crown. He's the King of Kings. He deserves a crown, but not the crown he was given. Not the crown of thorns. He's the king. He deserves the best robe that they can make, but they gave him a robe of mockery. He's the King of Kings, and they gave him a title, and he is worthy of a title, but they mocked him when they made it. And he hung on a cross. You say, what's that? I didn't deserve it. It all contradicts itself when it comes to me deserving it. I do not deserve it, and you don't either. You see, he endured, so I can endure. He set an example, and I can follow it. I just have to remain focused on him and what he did. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again, and verse 8. You need to remain focused on him, but you also need to remain focused on where you're going. Second Corinthians chapter 4 says, "We are troubled on every side." This is talking about the ministry here. This is Paul. I know we read verse 1 earlier. This is Paul talking about the ministry. This is something everybody takes a part in. It says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Look at this. For which cause we faint not. We've got a cause to not faint. It says, but though our outward man perish. And that's what it feels like, right? It feels like our flesh, our outward man, just wants to perish. It just wants to quit. It wants to be done. It says, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, the Lord, he says that as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You say, what's that mean? That means today I don't have the strength for tomorrow. I don't, but I have the strength for today. When tomorrow comes, I'll have the strength for tomorrow. It's a day-by-day thing, folks. And it says, for this, for which cause we faint not. It says in verse 17, for our light affliction. It doesn't look light at times, right? It doesn't feel light at times. It doesn't feel like it's just some kind of light thing, but whenever you look at it like this, it said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You want to know what this life is? It's just a moment. It's just a moment. I've come to figure out that 23 years, it goes by quicker than I ever would have thought. And some of you that are older, you can testify to that, this life, it's just for a moment. It says, what is our life but even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away? It's not long. In the sight of eternity, it says, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. You know what it is? It's really easy to look at everything going around in the world here. It's easy to look at the things that we can see. It's easy to look at the things that are seen and get faint and get weary and get exhausted. It says it's all temporal. What's that mean? It means it's all going to pass. It's going to run its course and then it's going to be over. We got to look at the things that's not seen. We got to look up. Say, why? Because our redemption draweth nigh. Because I've got a home up there. I ain't seen it yet. Don't know how big it is. I don't know if it's got brick. I don't know if it's got hardy board. I don't know if it's got vinyl. I don't know if it's two stories, one story. I don't know what it's got. It might be a log cabin. I don't know. But I got something up there. And I promise you it'll be better than anything I could live in down here. It'll be worth it all whenever we get up there. We just got to keep our eyes on the eternal. You say, why? Because everything else is temporal. It is so temporal. It says, what is your life but even a vapor? You say, what's that? It appears for a moment and then vanishes away. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. It says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Everything here is going to pass away. Everything here, everything in the state of Alabama, everything in Tennessee, everything in Kentucky, everything in Georgia, everything's going to pass away. That's why we got to seek a city to come. You see, there's a city up there, the pilgrims, the Jews, whenever they were in the Old Testament, it says they were looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. You know what we're doing? We're looking for a city. We're looking for a place whose builder and maker is God, because I promise you that place ain't here. This world's going to burn up one day and everything with it. That is a promise in the Scripture itself. Everything here is going to melt with a fervent heat. But up there, we've got something stored for us. We just gotta stay focused on it. So we gotta remain firm whenever you're faint, and remain focused. And lastly, in Psalms chapter 27, you just gotta remain faithful. Psalms chapter 27. In verse 13, this is David here. He says, I had fainted unless. You say, what's that unless? That's faith. He says, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. You see, what was David about to do? He was about to give up. He was at a point to where he was ready just to cast it off, to be done with everything. He says, I had fainted. Unless. You know what you need in this life? And I don't even like to say this, but you need it. You need some moments of unless. You need sometimes that you had fainted, you were at the point of quitting, at the point of throwing in the towel. And then the Lord supplies an unless moment. A moment to where you didn't expect anything to happen. But the Lord in His mercy just gives you unless. You see, that can come in all shapes and forms and all different types of packages. I was preaching one time. And I was preaching at a church in Calera, Alabama, about 2.5 hours north of here. And that whole week, the devil had just been wearing me out, just one thing after another. And it's easy to let that happen. And I was fighting and fighting and fighting, and man, I was discouraged. And we left Pensacola that Saturday to drive up there to stay overnight. And I was wore out. I was faint. I was ready to quit. I was ready just to throw it in. I was done with it. And one of my good friends up there, he texted me. He said, "Hey, I'm going to come to that church you're preaching at, and I'm going to bring my dad." You see, his dad's name was Butch. We've been praying for him for years to get saved. And I thought, well, it would be good if Butch would come, but you know, I've never even known him to step foot in a church before. A good guy, he just never been in church, never saved. And we get up there, and you know, we have Sunday school, and you know, and Butch didn't come in, and I was sitting there in between the, you know, just waiting for the preaching to start, and I'd been working on this message, and had it all, you know, laid out what I was wanting to preach, and the Lord started telling me, "I don't want you to preach that message." Oh, hold up now, Lord. I've been working on this for about 10 days now. You can't just take the message away from the messenger and expect him to have a message. And He put another one on my heart, one on Calvary. I was looking around. I said, "Lord, I know each and every one of these people in here, and I know they're all saved. They don't need to hear a salvation message. They need something to help them get through the week." And I was wrestling back and forth with it, and we were on about the last verse of the last congregational. It's a small country church, and I seen the sunlight come in and hit the pulpit. I looked over my shoulder, and it was Butch. He was coming in. I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll trust you. I'll preach the message you want me to preach." And I got up there, and I preached my heart out. It was the hardest I've ever preached in my life. And I was watching Butch the entire time. I was trying to look at him, and he would cry one minute, then I could see he'd get frustrated the next minute. I'm like, "Lord, you got to do something here." And I sat down after the message. I was praying, saying, "Lord, you got to do something with this here." I turned it over to the pastor, and he was given the invitation. And there was this old man behind me. It was Butch's daddy. I think he's 90 years old. And I was praying in the congregation, they're singing, and I was down in my pew praying. I was, "Lord, you got to take this message. You got to do something with it." And I heard something. And that old man behind me, I could hear him crying. And he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Look, preacher boy." And I looked up, and Butch was in the altar getting saved. You say, "What's that?" That's just a moment of unless. That's just a moment of a prayer that has been prayed, that you have prayed it for so long, you've forgotten to even pray for it. You think that the Lord has just forgot about it, and then He gives you that moment of unless whenever you least expect it. You say, "What's that?" That's the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, I had fainted, and then unless happened. You see, it says, "Wait on the Lord, and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You see, He mentions wait twice. You say, why? Because sometimes we got to wait a long time. Amen. Sometimes it takes a lot of waiting. You see, Butch, he's 64 years old. His daddy had been praying for him since the day he was born that he would get saved. His wife had been praying for him for 30 years that he would get saved. His son had been praying for him for 20 years that he would get saved. It took some waiting. But it was one of those moments of unless. You know what the Lord will let you do? He'll let you wait. He'll let you wait. It says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage." See, it's hard to be of good courage when we're faint, though, isn't it? It's hard to see the goodness of things. But I promise you, there's goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Just got to wait on it. And we got to remain faithful to see it. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, and I'm wrapping up here. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 29, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29 says, He giveth power to the faint. Well, look at verse 28. It says, Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. So what have you got to do, though? You got to wait on the Lord. And He's got to renew your strength. It says even the youths are going to faint. Young men can faint. Young women can faint. It's easy to. You know what you got to do, though? You just got to be faithful and wait on the Lord. It's a promise. It's a promise right there in the Scripture. It says, they shall walk and not be faint. And I'm done here. I'm going to read you one more thing in the book of Psalms. Look at Psalms chapter 107. Psalms chapter 107. We'll start in verse 1. Psalms chapter 107 and verse 1 says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. See, it's talking about Israel here. But it's easy to feel like that in life. You see, we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Here we have no continuing city, and it's easy to get hungry and thirsty spiritually. It's easy to starve yourself spiritually, just looking for something in the preaching, looking for something in the teaching, and it's easy to faint. It says their soul fainted in them, but they did something. Says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses, and He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I don't know your heart this morning, and I don't know what's been going on in your life. I just know the message that the Lord put on me to come in here and preach. But if you're faint this morning, you got to do what the children of Israel did. It says, then they cried unto the Lord, and then He delivered them. But it took coming to Him first. Sister, if you could come play something soft on the piano here. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to open up the altar here. To anybody who would like to come, or you can pray in your seat. But if you're hungry and thirsty this morning and your soul's fainting in you,